Welcome to The Busy Brew, where we spill coffee and the tea. And in this episode, we're sitting with Sasha, a rising content creator in Hong Kong. And we're going to talk about what it's like to be an influencer today in Hong Kong, the highs and lows of the industry, and what your experience has been. So thanks for coming on today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited.
So do you want to tell us a little bit more about yourself and how did you get into content creation?
Sure. So my name is Sasha. I've been doing content creation for almost a decade, but on and off. This specific account I've been doing for almost 4 years, but I've recently rebranded it to be more lifestyle and more appropriate for the general masses. It was actually a vegan account before.
But
I'm originally from Russia, Siberia, but when I was 8, I moved to Spain and lived there for a decade. And then I moved to Hong Kong for university to study at HKU. And I've been in Hong Kong since. It's almost 5 years.
So how did you decide Hong Kong for uni? Because it's quite a unique
place. Oh my gosh. Yeah, it was a really complicated, not complicated, but I initially wanted to go to the US. I had an offer for Chapman for a film degree.
Yeah.
But then COVID hit because I graduated in 2020 and then finance was really tough.
Yeah.
So I was like, America's off the market. I didn't want to study in Europe because I grew up in Europe. So it just felt a bit like I'm limiting myself.
Right.
And then Asia seemed like the next best thing, especially Hong Kong. It was between Hong Kong and Singapore.
Ooh, good choice.
But but Singapore wasn't accepting offers. Wasn't accepting applications because it was so late. No, it was so late in the application process. I was applying in June to go to uni in September.
Okay,
so that's not how you do it, right? It was very short notice, but HQ accepts on a rolling basis. So I was like, okay, they have a journalism degree that's kind of like film.
Yeah.
They also have marketing. I was always into marketing because I had a YouTube channel years ago, and that is a lot of marketing, of course, social media.
Yeah.
So I was like, this kind of works. And it was, I think, the best decision I've ever made, not only financially, but like, it's so nice here.
Yeah.
And it's so not nice there, especially right now, right? In America, you know. So, I mean, I haven't actually been to this day, so I don't know, but I'm so thankful it just turned out the way it did.
I'm sure it worked out exactly how it was supposed
to. Yeah, I'm very happy.
And so, like, how do you find Hong Kong compared to the other places that you've lived? Like, what's the main differences you feel?
I think it's very dense.
I feel like that's such a big culture shock.
I don't think I have any culture shocks, but visually, it's like, visually, maybe, like, it's just very dense and there's less. Compared to Europe, it's just very spread out. There's a lot of architecture, whereas Hong Kong is just a lot of skyscrapers. So it's very modern. I don't dislike that. I actually kind of like it. It makes me feel, I don't know, like I'm in a, not a cool movie, but it just feels really cool to walk around,
right? I feel like we have the best skyline. Like,
I really love, for sure. Yeah. Like, Europe has beautiful views too, but being in Hong Kong, it's like, I don't know, just if any, either if you're in Kowloon or like the Island Line, you just see that beautiful view from either side, right? And it's just so nice.
It's so nice.
It's also, I think the transport. I really like the transport.
Oh, for sure. Especially compared to like Europe, because I did an exchange in Paris.
Oh my gosh. But Paris isn't that bad, I think.
Well, I was very outskirts. So like I was really far away from the city and it would take like an hour and a half and 2 bus rides and 1 train ride to get to uni every day. it was such a nightmare.
My complaint isn't that bad, but we don't have like proper buses in my city. It's like they're always very late. Either they don't come, this and that, and then there's no MTR, no train, because it's a small city.
Yeah.
So my parents would always have to drive me, which was not an issue when I was younger, but now like I either walk or I have to plan my day in accordance with my parents' day and be like, oh, they're heading out, I have to pack and just, otherwise I'm going to be stuck at home.
Yeah.
We also live in the mountains, so it's like, it's nice, it's not very accessible.
Yeah.
And then the city is also not very walkable, it's a lot of highways. So being in Hong Kong and me just being able to go anywhere when I want, so nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I think those things are the my favorite things. Also maybe the food. It's so good.
Yeah, the food is so good.
Yeah,
the food is so good.
Hong Kong has like a lot of Buddhist restaurants.
Yeah.
And it's very traditional food, so I'm not missing out as a vegan.
Right.
And it's just very marinated to compensate for the lack of meat.
Yeah.
So I'm not like, the flavor is there. It's really good.
Is there any dish that you really love? Like, especially being a vegan? Because I do think it's a little bit difficult, to be honest.
No, I don't think so.
Really?
I mean, if I'm with the right people, then no. But if I go out with a big group that doesn't like know my dietary requirements, I just have to be like, okay, maybe it's just fries today for dinner.
Yeah, no, I do feel like it's a lot easier now. My sister was actually vegan for 5 years, like, but this was when she was in high school, so like a few years ago. But it's so different now to how it was then. Like back then, I don't, like Beyond Meat was kind of just coming up. There weren't really that many options. Yeah, so you find it easy now?
Like, I find it easy because my boyfriend's very supportive and then my friends are very supportive and the food is actually good. So they're not like complaining.
No, it's still, I don't think I would struggle going vegan except for the cheese. That's the only thing where I find it so hard because I'm
Yeah, that's true.
No, but I mean, I'm lactose intolerant, so I have no right to even be eating cheese.
With my favorite dish would be char siu.
Ooh, okay.
So obviously the vegan version, which is like just marinated gluten. Or Like duck. I think duck is really good. I don't know
I
how
they tried vegan duck.
You have?
Or no,
you
haven't? I haven't tried
it's so nice. I think the best one I've tried was actually in Thailand.
Okay.
But Hong Kong also makes it very well. Yeah. Like the Shanghainese duck.
Really?
It's really good.
Oh, that's
good.
So cool. I didn't know that was a
it's
thing.
It's very nice. It's just very soft and like, it's funny because my boyfriend, he's a meat eater, but he doesn't eat ducks because they're cute.
Okay.
Which is kind of like, just picks and chooses, but it's up to him.
Well, at least he's trying.
And he was really hesitant to try a vegan duck because it's like the real ducks are cute. I'm like, it's just gluten.
No, I
like,
honestly,
just eat it, and it's and really, it. Really good. Yeah, he liked it.
Oh, oh my gosh.
So it's all good.
So why did you actually decide to go vegan then?
It's not a very fun story actually.
Okay.
So I initially was a vegetarian, mm-hmm. but I read an article saying meat and fish had a lot of fat, and I was like 14, 15. So mm-hmm. I was like, oh, if I eat fat, I'm going to get fat.
Okay.
So I just stopped eating that. Mm-hmm. And then I decided to go cold turkey. But my analysis, it's a bit detailed, but mm-hmm. When I was vegetarian, I didn't replace my protein with anything.
Ooh, so I feel like that's quite like a common struggle.
Especially at such a young age.
Yeah.
So my analysis were so bad. Like mm-hmm. I was doing badly in every test.
Mm-hmm.
So my dad and I made a bet if I don't increase my results, if I don't better them,
right.
I'm gonna have to start eating fish.
Okay.
But I was like, because I'm very stubborn,
mm-hmm.
so I was like, what if I go vegan and have like protein powder and make all these recipes? So I did that,
mm-hmm.
but it was fueled by anorexia.
Okay.
So
oh,
it's
I'm
like,
sorry to
hear that. Okay, I mean, I'm fine now. It's mm-hmm. okay, but it's like a bit. I'm not happy it happened,
mm-hmm.
but it did lead me to like a better place. So it's like,
yeah,
it's like, eh, it's
yeah.
in the past. It's okay. And now I didn't want to ditch veganism, despite like. Being in recovery and all that,
right.
and it was very difficult. And mm-hmm. a lot of people quit because if you associate a diet with like
right.
an eating disorder, it's just very hard. But again, I'm very stubborn, so I was like, I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like it's getting better. I'd mm-hmm. say it's been like 6 years.
Wow!
But
okay.
I'm not like getting official help, so I'm just kind of like doing a trial and error method.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm very happy with where I am now. I don't fear food.
Okay,
so
that's
great.
Amazing.
Yeah, yeah, no,
and
I'm
thank
very
you for
happy.
Sharing that. Like, that's
no worries,
really
no worries. I feel like I'm getting red. That was very
No, then thank you. I'm like, I think this is such an like it's so important to have these kind of important open conversations about these kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's something that affects so many people, especially so many girls. Like, these, especially at this day and age where like
social media.
Yeah, exactly. So I like thank you for being so honest.
No
about
worries.
That.
It was a long time ago, so I'm not very like. Shy about it,
right?
Which I kind of feared talking about it now because I feel I talk about it very calmly,
mm-hmm.
even though it's a very serious thing.
But, no, but
just,
I think
it's kind of
like your experience. So
yeah. So that's how it happened. But then it turned into a better thing, and I was mm-hmm. like, let me level up. Got my protein in. I was weighing my food.
Amazing.
Got
okay.
a different eating disorder.
Okay.
Because I weighed my food, but at least my results got better,
yeah.
and then I healed from that.
Okay.
So now it's like.
But now we're you're.
Now,
in
now I'm 23. At this mm-hmm. point, I'm like, I can't be doing this anymore. Like it's been mm-hmm. too long. So my boyfriend's very supportive, and then like when I would fear food, he's like. I don't know, just eating with me, you would order mm-hmm. food for me and then
oh,
share.
That's very sweet.
Yeah, so it's I haven't worried about it in like a year, I'd say. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Oh, well, I'm really glad to hear that. That's really good. And thank you for sharing that. That's
no
really,
worries.
That's really
thank
open
you for
and
listening.
Honest. Did being vegan kind of like, because you said you started with a vegan channel.
Yes.
So did that actually end up being how you got into social media and fed into that?
Not exactly. So I had my YouTube channel when I was, I think, 14, 15.
Mm-hmm.
And that was also like lifestyle comedy skits, everything that everyone was doing.
Oh, comedy
in like
skits
20...
as well. Oh,
yeah,
I love that. Okay.
Do you
I
know like Alicia Marie and all those girls in 2016?
Yeah.
I was doing what they did.
Okay. I like
that.
I loved watching their
comedy. Yeah,
so
on top of that, it was just comedy as well because I loved humor. So I was like, I'll just try this.
Right.
But then it got hard with exams. So I quit that completely. And when I was in quarantine in, I think, like 2021,
mm-hmm.
I was posting my food with like heavy like glitter filters
okay.
and it was initially I was just eating the menu like mm-hmm. that the quarantine hotel served
right.
but I try to make the best of it and I would just post it like trying to make it look nice
mm-hmm.
or sometimes gross but with a sparkly filter so
okay.
it was like kind of contrasty
right.
and then I would order delivery and kind of start discovering that's actually how I started discovering vegan food in Hong Kong
mm-hmm.
was through Food Panda
okay
because I looked at it and I was like I wonder what they have like
yeah.
I didn't know any of the food in Hong Kong
mm-hmm.
it's not different but I still had those bad habits from like my ED. So I came in here and I was like, I'll be eating like very plain foods,
mm-hmm.
but I did have some curiosity. So I was like, what does Hong Kong have to offer? And then I was like, vegan duck. We don't even have that.
Yeah, I know. That's so cool. I've never tried it.
Yeah,
really
it was really unique to see. And I was like, let me get like a load of everything.
Right.
And it was so nice. I started posting it. And then all my friends were like, you should do a foodie page.
Yeah.
This is so nice. And then after like 2 weeks of that, I was like, what if I just do? And then I also had a journalism assignment where I had to review food.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so I typed up like a whole piece, took very nice photos with like a camera. And then I was like, this is fun.
Yeah.
I'm talking about flavors and like the price and if it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something really enjoyable. So I did that for almost 2 years.
Yeah, okay.
And then I slowly started transitioning into more lifestyle because vegan food was very limiting, right. And I just did, I also wanted to show my face and who I am a bit more, mm-hmm. So it was like a very slow and steady progression.
Yeah, and I think that's what I love most about your content is it's really honest. I love seeing like, especially like the day in the lifestyle thing. I think it's so fun and so interesting. And I think Hong Kong is such like a unique place that it's fun to see what everyone is doing. And it's such a busy place and everyone has like a different story.
A lot of things to do, right?
There's so many things to do and it's so fun to see like what that looks like for everyone. What does a typical day in your life actually look like now that you're doing content and a full-time job?
Yeah, so I think I don't mix my content filming days and my job as much because I'm still on probation.
Okay.
So I don't want to whip out my camera. Right. My recent video I did, but I was like filming very up close. So you can't see anything. Okay. It was not the nicest shots, but I was like, people will like, you know, I'm doing this.
Yeah.
So I start my morning, I think like at 7 a.m. So I go to the gym.
Wow.
I'm not really. I used
7 a.m. is morning to me.
Painful. Like every time it's a battle, like, do I just do this now? Do I suffer later? Mm-hmm. Like my schedule is very tight.
Right.
So if I don't do the gym, I might not be able to gym like at all that day, or I'll just sabotage my entire evening. So it's like an inner battle of like, do I rest or not? So I go to the gym. I usually walk, do my like 1 hour of exercise. I made a priority to do 1 hour.
Okay, that's really impressive though.
Yeah, because I wasn't seeing results and I was only working out for like 30 minutes. Okay. And I was like, that's probably why. I do eat like a good amount.
No,
so I was
but
like,
I was going to say, if I even go to the gym at least once a week, it's good enough for me.
I mean, no. I got to do 5 days. That's my goal. But then I come home, so get ready for work. My boyfriend and I actually work together.
Oh, amazing.
So, yeah, I got a job at his place, which is really cool.
Yeah.
And then we travel, we commute to the same company, like, together. Do my whole, like, job thing. I also have Cantonese class during lunchtime.
Oh, so you're studying Cantonese?
Yeah,
oh,
so that's why I can't do the gym during lunchtime. So it's like very, very tight.
Yeah.
And then I come back, I eat lunch as I work. Mm-hmm. And then I think on Sundays and Mondays, I do the editing. Because that's when my boyfriend eats dinner at his home.
Right.
So that's, like, my
free time.
Golden window to edit.
Your schedule is tight.
It's tight.
You're
it is very popular. Tight. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow,
but I have enough time to rest because I'm also a little lazy sometimes.
Well, so it doesn't sound like
it. No. But I can be. Like, I come home and I'm like, maybe I just won't edit. They won't get a video this week. And then it's fine because it's like, I don't want to burn myself out just by being like, I need to do this.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, I feel like editing. I'm just kind of, I'm in the mood. So I just do it. Yeah.
Oh, amazing. Okay. Yeah, no, your schedule sounds really intense though, but I'm glad that you have like times to take a break and like actually
it's like
relax
both spectrums, very busy or like too chill.
Yeah.
But I'm happy, I'm not complaining.
Yeah.
I'm happy with
it. I think that's really cool that you're doing Cantonese classes.
Yeah.
How did you decide to start that?
Oh, my dad pushed me to start. So I always wanted to start learning, but after I graduated, it was like my thing because I think it was an excuse. I could have started learning during my bachelor's degree, but I was like, I have a double major, like, I don't
want to.
I mean, it is fair, but it wasn't, like, unmanageable, but I was like, let me just focus on this, despite my major being, like, journalism and marketing, which is really simple. Mm-hmm. But my dad started learning English recently. So he was like, if I'm learning English at, like, 50-something, you should start learning Cantonese at 23, especially
so cool,
if you live in a place.
Yeah.
And my vocabulary is so bad. I keep forgetting everything.
No, yeah,
so I just talk
so
to my friends or my boyfriend and, like, I only say the things I know, so obviously they're like, wow, that's all good. I'm like, thank you so much. But in public, I get worried that I'll forget or that they'll ask me something. I'm like, I actually don't, this wasn't in my script. I don't know what
to
say.
No, I get that. I feel like sometimes I'll try and then they'll reply back really fast. And I'm like, okay, wait, I actually don't know.
It's
like,
hard, right? Yeah. Also, the way I learn is like, say nga, but in Cantonese, they say like aw.
Oh, yeah.
So initially, I was like, oh, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, y'all just say things differently.
Yeah, it's different
to like textbook. And I was like, okay, so this is like another thing I'm not being taught.
Yeah.
Even my Canto teacher tells me like, nay, and then she says lay, and I'm like,
yeah,
I'm like,
language, it's a hard language.
I don't want to be the person that doesn't speak Cantonese.
I think that's really impressive because I feel like most people actually don't ever bother.
Yeah, I don't think I would have if my dad didn't push me to. So I'm very happy that I did.
Yeah, really
and then
cool.
Maybe in a few years I can like impress people and be like, whip out fluent. They speak to me in English. I'm like, actually listen to this, and I just start rapping Cantonese. Like, oh my gosh, you're amazing.
Yeah.
That's my goal. That is my goal.
I see that happening. I feel like
I
you
hope
do it.
So.
Oh, okay. So actually, we kind of touched upon this, but like, how do you actually come up with fresh ideas and kind of avoid burnout? Or what's kind of like the hardest parts that you don't really see about your job?
So new ideas, I think it's a bit hard. That's something I struggle with because like my day in the life is very easy and my days are a little bit different. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, each day differs, but it might get repetitive. So I try and make it different with editing. Mm-hmm. So even if it's like you've kind of seen this like before, maybe my script is a bit different, maybe like something changes around. Mm-hmm. I still think it's an area that I can improve on a lot. But also I like to do many things.
Yeah, so. I was gonna say, your content, I feel like, is always really engaging.
Okay, that's
really
good.
Fun.
That's so nice to hear, because I worry about that.
No, I think it is really, I always love, like, your content is always fun to watch. I feel like that's the main thing that comes across.
Thank you so much. I do try and make my voiceovers more exciting. Mm-hmm. There is an issue where, like, I watch other creators, I'm like, I want to be more like that. Mm-hmm. And then yesterday I recorded a voiceover in a more, like, chill tone, and then I read it to my boyfriend, and he was like, you sound like it's your customer service voice.
Oh, really?
And then I was like, okay, I'll just re-record then, never mind.
Yeah.
So I think, like, staying more authentic is something that kind of helps me, mm-hmm. because we do a lot of things, especially with my relationship, which is, I think, quite public. Mm-hmm. It's also important to not keep things, like, the same and mundane.
Right.
So if I do capture that, it's also kind of reflected on my content. Like, mm-hmm. if our dates are more fun.
Yeah, I guess it must be hard to kind of balance, like, personal life and public life as well. Have you struggled?
Yeah.
Like, so you mentioned that kind
it
of
was, It was a big thing, because mm-hmm. I don't view content creation as a job.
Right.
So when I come back from, like, a day of working, and so does my boyfriend, mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, time to have fun and edit.
Right.
But it's objectively still work. Mm-hmm. So then he was waiting around for me, and I'm just, like, editing until 2 a.m.
Right.
So then our entire, like, he's at the office as well, so he doesn't mm-hmm. get to work from home. So coming back to a girlfriend, he's, like, on her laptop the whole time. Yeah. And to me, I was like, we're in the same space, we're vibing, but it's not really the same.
Well, I
kind of
get that,
him.
Though, because I'm like, okay, we're all in the same, but
yeah,
I understand how, like, for the other person.
Of course,
it's a
bit... but I didn't. So mm-hmm. when he brought it up, I was like, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. Like, of course that's not acceptable.
You're seeing, like, everyone's lives all the time, and I imagine for your own, like, for even as a hobby, you kind of need to have content ideas, so you're
yeah.
kind of always looking. Does it ever get a bit?
It does. I've muted a lot of my, like, a lot of my mutual friends. Mm-hmm. I've had to mute, because I was like, I get very competitive, and I also compare myself a lot, mm-hmm. so that
Which
gets
is
very
natural,
overwhelming.
I think, especially, like,
yeah, but then with content creation, there's no, like, line between this is your idea and mm-hmm. this is just a general trend.
Right.
So sometimes I'm like, is this her idea? Or, like, is this a trend? And then I'm like, wait, is this a copying at this point? So I have to, like, take a step back and be like, mm-hmm. I'm looking way too much into this. I need to maybe take a step back and just be like, what do I want to do? Like,
right.
this person, like, out of the picture. So yeah, there's a lot of people muted on my page mm-hmm. just so I don't get upset at my
yeah.
own efforts, because everybody grows at a different pace.
Yeah,
so I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I'm, like, still very supportive. If mm-hmm. I sometimes I go into the profile, like and support,
yeah.
but visually just don't want to pressure myself.
Right.
And then I don't know, when I scroll on Instagram, my feed is not what I post. It's very
really?
Like stupid memes, and like it's not as bad as my boyfriend, but it's mm-hmm. like borderline brain rot. Not like Gen Alpha brain rot, but it's like it's there.
Yeah.
So. It doesn't, so it actually gets harder to do research for Reels, because my content is
it's
so
just brain rot.
Yeah, so I'm like, well, I have to like handle my algorithm and start mm-hmm. liking the posts that are more appropriate to me, just so
right.
I can trick it into not giving me more memes. Mm-hmm. But in that sense, no, because
But I think that's nice, because then you're not like, I feel like I kind of wish my For You page was more brain rot, because it's like fun, easy content to look at.
That's true.
But I am a little bit concerned, I'm not going to lie.
Get another account maybe, because I have three accounts. I have like a spam account, which I don't really use.
Yeah.
But also my personal and then my public account.
Yeah.
So my personal, that's definitely me memes. My lifestyle account is like lifestyle memes.
Right.
But now it's being infiltrated by more brain rot. So I'm trying to at least keep that for research. Mm-hmm. Before it was very well curated.
Right.
Now it's a mix of like algorithm, like how to boost your algorithm, what to do with your videos, how to do content creation. Those are so annoying because mm-hmm. there's too much advice. Then there's the memes, which is irrelevant. And then there's like an occasional girly from New York, you know, here's my day. I'm like, this is what I need.
Yeah.
This is a little
No, that's
breast.
Really smart. I think I'm going to start looking into different
yeah,
accounts. Having like a very
algorithm.
Curated. Yeah, that's really smart actually. Okay. Would you like to go for it? This is
no.
our first blend.
Cheers. Oh my gosh. Oh, that's so nice. It's very smooth.
Yeah, it's really, so like the whole point is, it's and we're sugar-free as well. So we use stevia, so it's 100% sugar-free.
Ooh.
Yeah, because we wanted like a product that like is healthy, but doesn't mm-hmm. taste healthy. Because especially, because my like I mentioned, my sister is vegan.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I tried so many products where it's really obvious that it's not like, our
yeah.
goal is trying to make it taste as much as like a regular latte as possible.
It's very sweet in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm big on artificial sweeteners, but
mm-hmm.
my friends and I have like, it's not an inside joke, but in Starbucks, I always take the Splenda.
Yeah.
So much so that when I asked my boyfriend to get a Splenda, he has like
oh, no.
pockets
yeah.
of it, and he would bring it to me on campus, and he
mm-hmm.
would just give me like this.
Oh, really?
And then I still have, I don't use it as much now,
mm-hmm.
specifically Splenda, but I still have it like lying around in bags, and
yeah.
I just bring out an
oh,
old
really?
Bag, and there's a piece of Splenda, and
yeah.
he's like, your stash? I'm like, yes, my Splenda stash.
Splenda stash.
Yeah, so I prefer stevia.
Yeah.
And it's oh my god, that's so cute. Is this your mascot?
Yeah, it's a little, it's Carl the kangaroo, because we use Australian oats.
Oh my god,
so.
He's so cute.
Okay, so just in the interest of time, So we'll just end with a few fun rapid questions. So the fun rapid questions are, if you could post on one platform forever, what platform would that be?
Oh, Instagram for sure.
Yeah.
I use it the most. I don't really post on any other platform, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I kind of quit YouTube, so Instagram is the only is the only way. Yeah, Instagram.
Iced or hot coffee?
I think hot coffee. I don't like iced. There's too much ice in the coffee, and then I feel like the coffee gets watered down. Yeah. So I'd rather, like, even on a hot day, I prefer hot coffee. Mm-hmm. And I'm always cold. All the, especially in Hong Kong cafes, they blast the aircon.
Oh, the AC is constantly. Even in the winter, I don't understand this.
It's
even
so
like
bad.
Malls, it's, I always have 18 layers because I'm like, I will sweat and freeze at some point.
In summer,
in the
day. Like, you have to bring a jacket, even if it's like 25 degrees, also with the humidity.
It's crazy.
But I'm like, I know I will sweat in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But right now, my nose is runny because I'm so cold, so I will get the hottest latte
exactly.
you have.
Okay, how many cups a day is too many cups of coffee?
Like, objectively or for me?
For you.
Okay, so I think in high school I used to drink up to like 5 or 6.
Oh my god, I did the same.
Yeah,
it was so bad.
Because we had a coffee machine, so I would just be like suppressing my appetite. I was just coffee, coffee, coffee. Mm-hmm. I think maybe like 4.
Okay.
Or like
I
4.
Agree.
4 is like it's
four
not it's
amount.
Not bad. It, maybe, but it's not it's not too bad. But 5 maybe like get some sleep. Yeah, or decaf, I think.
Yeah,
it's okay.
I swapped
decaf
to decaf
okay.
recently. It's
I do
it's
have
good.
Decaf, it helps.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I'm getting older, so like I get the jitters a little bit sometimes.
Same, and I feel like that's only recently started
yeah,
happening.
Yeah, I've never had that. I would drink 7 cups, easy.
When I was in high school, I abused coffee. It was really bad.
I just drink
if I have more than 2 cups
time.
A day now, I'm like anxious.
Right?
It's so sad. Is this age? What is this?
It's bad because like I have my own prep meal, so I don't like I try not to eat outside my eating windows during working times. So then my gap, unfortunately, between like my lunchtime and my dinner is like quite big. So I get home, I like I'm waiting for my boyfriend to come over. I'm like, one like I am shaking right now, please.
Yeah.
So I always have like a little bit of snacks. I'm just like walking around eating what he told me not to eat.
Right.
He's like, this is for us. And then he takes the bag and it's half empty. I'm like, I got the jitters, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I feel like I need to cut back on it. It's really bad.
No, it's fine.
What
it's
is fine. The weirdest or funniest DM you ever received?
Oh, I don't think I get like many weird or funny DMs. I guess maybe people not knowing I have a boyfriend and they start off which is like I try to be very like not open-minded, but it's like not everybody has to know everything that's in my content. My boyfriend isn't always in my content, but if you watch like 2 reels in a row, he's in there. He is in there. So they start like a conversation very like casually, and I'm like just answering a question like, oh, thank you, or this and this. And they're like, oh, you should come, like, you should meet me for lunch. I'm like, oh, sure, can my boyfriend come?
Yeah,
and then, like, visibly, they're like, you have a boyfriend? I'm like, yeah, he's in my profile, can he join?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I don't know, like, maybe. I'm like, this. I know what you're doing this whole time. And then they still continue to text me, but
that's
it's just,
funny,
it's, like, really weird.
Yeah, especially because it's on your page. Like,
yeah.
It's not like, it's like, that's
so
funny.
It's like, I don't want to, again, blame everybody for, like, knowing me, like, not knowing me, but at the same time, it's like, if you're gonna, like, slide into DMs,
at least
double
do
check.
Research.
Just
yeah.
double check, you know, it's weird.
That's funny. If you weren't doing social media, so I guess this is kind of answered because you do marketing, but if you weren't doing either of those two things, what would you look at doing?
Okay, so actually I got both my jobs, my current job, my previous job, because of my social media, I think. My job is largely on social media. I think it's essentially, it's not largely, it is the social media of the company. So I would have a harder time probably finding a job, especially in this market, but it would still be marketing related. I actually, it's kind of like a good and a bad thing because of my social media, I got my job, but my job is social media, which I already do. So sometimes I do want variety and to work on like, more global campaigns or do. So I used to have an internship at Peninsula, like the global office. It's something I'm like very, very happy about and very proud of. But it was more like campaigns for the global markets.
Right.
Whereas now it's like social media posts for a company.
Yeah.
And I prefer the global campaign. So maybe I'd have an opportunity in more of the global campaign side of marketing rather than like SMM. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Do you ever feel like it's kind of like, in a way, mentally draining, because I guess your hobby and your work is kind of social media.
I feel like I told myself that for a bit because I have to do a lot of editing in addition to the filming, of course. And I was like, oh, I edited so much at the office, like I don't want to edit later. But I don't think that's actually the case. I think I was just tired. It's very different types of editing and filming.
Right.
So it doesn't overlap like in my brain. It's like social media to me is still a hobby. So it's like I'm just editing like how I drank a coffee and went to the gym, right? It's very different to like, I work in crypto, so like a crypto marketing post.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it's very like,
really
very
cool,
different.
Though.
It's, I like it. I like it.
What's one trend you secretly wish would die? Like you're sick of it.
Oh, something came in my mind, but I don't know if it's like a trend.
Pilates.
Okay. Like, a lot of people have said that,
yeah,
actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not that unique. It's the whole Pilates,
no, but I get
Pilates
it, yeah.
princess, right? Mm-hmm. I don't like it. Okay, I don't like Pilates personally. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, to be clear, if you do Pilates, I don't have anything against it. Like, yeah. you do you. I just like cardio and very intense workouts, so that to me is just very boring. I tried it. And then maybe the main reason I don't like it is because all the brands are doing a lot of Pilates things, mm-hmm. and I guess I have a Pilates aesthetic, so I always get invited to it, and sometimes I'm like, it's fun to get invited to events, but I'm like, oh my gosh, like, how do I say I actually cannot stand this Pilates and yoga? It kills me. So every time
it's
I'm
really
like...
It's really hard. I do like Pilates. I don't do it as much as... Because there's no studio close to me, and I wish there was.
Oh, I see.
So it's just kind of out of the way to go.
It.
I would if I could, but it's also like, it's so hard.
To me, it's boring.
Really?
I also I'm not flexible, so it does make it hard.
Yeah.
But I think the first, like, 40 minutes of the class, I was like, okay, this is actually kind of cool. Mm-hmm. I'm doing core, doing some leg things. This is very fun.
Yeah.
But then I think, you're like, bored. In the last 20 minutes, I was like, oh, my
really?
God. Like, please, can we go home?
Yeah.
Like, it's when you're doing, like, I like cycling a lot. You know the rhythm cycling?
Yeah.
They're yelling at you. There's so much music.
I want to do one of those. Do we have that in Hong Kong?
Yeah, there's Absolute Studio. That's
really?
One of them.
Okay.
So it's
I
like,
want to do that for a while.
It's really nice. Mm-hmm. And then the music playlist. The playlists are so nice.
Yeah.
The instructors are amazing. There's a lot of different times.
Yeah.
And then you can't get bored because you're
like being yelled at.
Yeah, and they're like, up, down, you're like, oh my God. But I like that because it's like if you're in pain, you're doing a good job. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. People also think I'm into hiking. So maybe that whole, that's not really a trend, is it then?
Like easy.
I just don't like being identified as a Pilates girl or a hiker.
No, fair.
Maybe
that's
my
one.
Issue.
What's a trend that you secretly love then?
It's like a dancing. I like dancing trends.
Yeah.
I always want to do it with my boyfriend. There's one like, y te vas pa acá y me voy pa acá, you know, they do a dance and they go like this.
Oh, that one's so cute.
I started listening to the music like just on the gym, at the gym.
Yeah.
But I can't dance, and my boyfriend,
neither can I.
I don't think can either. Mm-hmm. So if we did it, it would look so stupid.
But I think it'd be really fun.
It would be fun, but like, I'm like, if I did this, it would just be like, like I just dance like an auntie.
Yeah,
like,
no, I
don't
do as well. It's
mind.
Really
but if I want to do a dance video and then I film it, I'm like, I would rather just delete this. This is horrible.
So we're not going to see it. any dancing videos on your
maybe not. Maybe like if my views drop really badly and I'm like, just gotta do something. Maybe then.
So thank you for coming on The Busy Brew and
thank
for sharing
for
like sharing about your life and how you got into content creation. And stay tuned for more episodes on The Busy Brew. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.